Well, yesterday in our prayer meeting, sometimes I often find the Lord begins to confirm or show to me what he wants me to preach and teach on. It doesn't always come that way, but it's jolly nice when it does. And rightly so, because that's what body ministry is about. And very often, in our times of sharing, conversation, if we are sensitive and we are open to the Holy Spirit, then you are going to be speaking what the Spirit is revealing, what he's saying today in this hour, this season. And preachers, if they're sensitive, are going to listen and pick that up. And we found ourselves, in the course of conversation, not to forget what this church is about and why God formed and called us and baptized us into this assembly. And it's not just that you might learn the word or theology, as important as that is, or that you have come to this church because we believe that we walk by faith and we preach a total faith message, or we don't come to this church because the deeper life, the faith, will meet all my needs, all my wants, and I will prosper, all of which have valid points. No. God revealed and showed me years back that this assembly is not only an end time assembly and church preparing the saints, but it is a spiritual ark.
Amen.
And we must never forget this. This is a type of ark. And this ark, like the times of Noah, when he built that ark for 120 years, so God is building a spiritual ark here that we enter into in order that we rise above the last day judgments that are to come on all the earth. That is the ultimate purpose and reason why you and I gather together week after week, whether from near or far. That is the purpose. And that is really what I want to address this morning, and maybe next week as the Lord leads. And very simply, this is called the call to enter the ark. The call to enter the ark. Evangelism is failing, a lot of it, because it does not have the understanding and revelation of calling sinners not only to repentance and to receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and to walk as disciples, but they are also failing to understand and see that God is calling his people, the redeemed, into the ark, the church, the body of Christ. And this is where there is more confusion about this than anything I know that exists at present with Christendom. So many do not see this. So many are confused as to whether we be in the end times or not. Many are not sure with regard to the Middle East and Israel, what is happening there. There is so much confusion. And yet God has said, and we repeat this over and over again, that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And where is the great shepherd leading the flock? Well, it doesn't take a great revelation to work out that the great shepherd, Jesus himself, is leading us to the door that is open into the ark. Because that is where he's to be found, in the ark. The ark is his church, his rock. Because the ark is a place of refuge, a place of protection, a place where you come and to meet with the Lord. And in the times of Noah, when Noah was preparing that ark and God opened that door to that ark and they went in two by two, we know the story. They were going in under covenant because God had made covenant with Noah. But what were they doing? It was as an ark. It was an assembly. It was a foundation. It was a place of refuge. And who were they really coming to meet? Who were they going in to see? Was God himself. God's presence was in and over that ark. We tend to forget this. We see about its building and we have songs and children love the stories about the animals went in two by two and they went in and suddenly the door was closed and the rains came and then the ark took float and rose above the floods of the earth and we have all of that and 40 days they were in the ark and then the rain stopped and then they began to come down onto ground again and then the animals went out and so forth. We know all about that. We were taught about it as children, but we were never taught that God's presence was in that ark. That was all that was left of mankind. Man that was made in God's image. But that was God's presence. That was God's hand. That was God's face shining upon a remnant. And where the presence of God is, that is where you are preserved. You are kept. And under that great judgment, that was the only place on planet Earth where God's presence was revealed. And they saw it, and they prepared for it, and they moved into it. And as a result, they were saved. And it is exactly the same in this last days. And we mustn't forget that. We note how the Holy Spirit spoke and moved upon Noah. Let's just quickly turn to Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." And then he goes on about that you will take the animals with you, clean animals, and they will go in also. God spoke to Noah and said, "Enter into this ark. Enter," in other words, "into my presence. Be and remain in my presence." And this is essential for God's people. God's people have to move into the presence of God, where God wants you. I don't have to look for any revelation where God wants me. God wants me here. This is his presence. This is where he wants me. This is where I function. This is the doorway into the deeper life. But the Holy Spirit has to speak to you. And that is the only way it will ever be done. All the saints of God that moved into God's presence, whether God moving nations or families out of famine lands, moving them somewhere else, or warning them of earthquakes are going to come, the whole Bible's full of it. God spoke to them and said, "Get out, for I'm going to rain down fire and judgment." And God had to speak to you, but before he speaks to you, he has to make covenant with you. And covenant means redemption. Covenant means that you have to be made right with God. Which of course God did with Noah. And it was on the basis that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter 6 verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's the covenant. And after the covenant, then God speaks. Because God is not going to make a covenant with you and then not show you how to preserve and keep you. Because that's totally against God and the way he works. Same with Christ. God has made covenant with us through Christ. And once you receive Christ as Savior, then the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. And he shows you how he's going to preserve you and keep you. Now, why does God have to do that? Why does he have to speak and reveal to us that he's got to preserve and keep us? Very simple. Who is the God of this world at the moment? Satan. And where is judgment coming upon? Satan. The God of this world. And all those that follow him. And so because God is going to pour out wrath, judgment, he has to not only make covenant with you, he has to speak to you and reveal to you where he's going to preserve you and keep you. From his wrath. From his judgment. That is the mercy and love of God. And that is what this church is about. You've not only been brought in here to be blessed, to be fed, yes, but you've been brought in here to be preserved and kept. We must never forget this. And so God remembers Noah. And through that, to remember him, it is a building of the ark. Then God remembered, chapter 8 verse 1, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. So God remembered them. Now, God has brought you into this church in order to remember you. Now, of course, God doesn't forget. But it's because you're there. We're here. We are in his presence. We have obeyed what he has said. We have entered into the deeper life through the door. So that is a remembrance. That is a reminder. That reveals God's peculiar treasure. And so as judgment falls, remember the angel of death that moved over the camp of Israel that night? A type of judgment again. So as God's judgment to judging against sin, he will remember Full Gospel Assembly and other assemblies who hold to the purity of God's word and will not compromise. And we've seen, haven't we, this spiritual opening of this door presented to us. And many, many times we have heard the Holy Spirit speak over and over again that the deeper life is a doorway, a threshold into a deeper experience. And where have we seen the revelation and understanding of this? Well, of course, it's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. The Philadelphian church. I remind you again, this faithful church. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have little strength. You've kept my word and have not denied my name. And he goes on and he says, even those who profess themselves, who think they've entered into this ark, but haven't paid the cost, the price, are not willing to. He says even those of the household of Satan, the synagogue of Satan, who say they're Jews, Christians, and are not, but lie indeed, I'll even make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. There's the covenant. I have loved you. See? That love is agape love. An unbroken love. And so he says, you've kept my word, my commandments, because you have kept my commandment to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So the rest, it comes upon the whole earth for one purpose, to test them. To see what is really in their hearts. But thank the Lord, you are preserved from that in that day. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have. No man takes your crown. So that is the nature of how Christ is coming. He's coming in an hour, in a time when we least expect. He's coming quickly. Now the only way saints can be raptured in those conditions is to be found in that spiritual ark. That's the only way you're going to be taken up. So I suggest to you there's another reason why God has brought you into this spiritual ark and his mercy and grace, and that is to prepare you for the rapture. That is the nature of the ark. And so this is the call to go deeper, to prepare to be saved for the last days. That is the revelation and understanding of this walk, this assembly, what it holds for and believes for and endures for, is to be preserved from the final judgment that is coming upon the earth. And we are not far away from it. We are seeing a rapid decline. You are hearing it daily in the news. We are seeing the Antichrist system building, preparing now for the final of that leader that is going to come up. The whole systems are emerging, coming together. The financial system. All that we see at present going on with inflationary problems, bank problems, is all engineered purposely for this. For this very purpose, to bring about the mark of the beast. It doesn't take these sects who, and Illuminati and other groups like that, it doesn't take any of them by surprise. It's been planned. And so we're seeing all the whole stage being prepared, set. And of course these people don't realize that they're being moved by very strong demonic powers, the Antichrist system. They're blinded to it. They think it's good logic. They think it makes sense. It's what's going to preserve the planet, the world. But God says that those armies, the armies of Armageddon, are the ones that he's going to fight and destroy. Why is God going to do that? Well, it's not only the epitome of rebellion, but what it does, and what this is that it's trying to make itself God. One of the things that the Lord, I believe, opened my eyes to, you know, now, over this last particularly 10 years, this huge move forward of surveillance. Cameras, everything watching you, chips, you know, all this done through computer. They have every ID, information, everything on you, and so forth. And it's continued to be added. It goes on and on and on. Do you know what that is? That is a substitute from the omnipresence and omniscience of God. And that is why God will destroy it. Behold, I can become like God. I can know everything. I can know everything about man, his life, what he does, how he spends, where he goes, and so on. There is only one who sees that. That's the all-seeing eye of God. And that is why in the occult, the third eye, which that represents, is man, rebellion, the Antichrist system, knowing everything about you and controlling you. That is how it works. And that will bring the wrath of God, because that is coming against God's glory. That is what this is about. That is why you don't go down that road. Yes, they know about you, but don't go along with it, where you can be separate from it, I would tell you something now. I still pay by cash as much as I can. I don't use these cards unless I have to, because they know everything. They can read what you do with these cards all the time. You now go into some of these supermarkets and everything, and all these cameras are watching your eye gate, watching what you look at, so that they influence you to buy. You see, it just goes on and on and on. What man will do is unbelievable, and it's all based on rebellion. I can be God, I can control, and so on. And so it goes on. And so God has opened a door and said, you can escape from this, and I'll open your eyes to it. And so what does he say? What is the Spirit saying to those who obey? Because that's what it said with the Philadelphian church. He says, because you have kept my command to persevere. What does he mean by this? What is it saying? The command to persevere? Well, because the Antichrist system, rebellion, tries to come against what you're doing. It's like we're spiritually swimming upstream, just like those old salmon do. To be separate, to not join in with this system, means you have to persevere. You have to stay with it while the Holy Spirit works in your life, in your heart, to show you he doesn't want you involved with this. He doesn't want you with those people. He doesn't want you going to that place. He doesn't want you acting like this, dressing like this, and so on. He wants you separate to himself. This is the idea of persevering, that we are a holy, separate people unto God. Now, it doesn't mean to say we become monastics. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. So you're separated and look like dowdy religious people. That's not what we're saying. It is in the heart. It is in the motive. That is the separation. And with whatever God is challenging, whatever is displeasing in his sight, you just yield over and let him do it. You see? Because he doesn't want us moving the way of the world. And that is why he presented to us this total walk of faith. To trust God by faith. That you can trust him for your health. You can trust him for your finances. You can trust him in your needs, everything that we face each day, and we do. And I don't know about you, but as I go on, I find needs sometimes increase, don't decrease. It seems to pile up more. And sometimes I'm saying, here I am again, Lord. You know, it's like, I can't help it. This needs to be done, that needs to be paid, got to do this, and so on. Life just seems to be piling it on. Now, does God not know? Well, of course he does. That is nothing to him. He says, I will supply, I will meet your needs. Don't even give concern. Just seek the kingdom, seek me, and what we have in relationship. We can come to that place where we take no thought about these things. I believe God's brought us into this ark to preserve and keep us. To preserve us from financial problems. To preserve us from sickness problems. To preserve us from stress and how the world is going. To preserve us so that our needs can be met. That's just our earthly things. And as well as the spiritual and what we're being prepared for. Well, that's just infinite. Just goes on and on and on. And there's really, there are the important things to think about. My future with Christ in eternity. They're the real things to seek the kingdom about. All these temple things and, you know, what's going to happen to me? Or am I going to lose my job? Or will I be struck down with sickness or whatever if the Lord tarries and I get older? Don't worry about those things. God hasn't brought you into this church, into this ark, to strike you down. Or to be plagued with cancer. And these 21st century diseases that we're hearing becoming more and more prevalent. No, he's not brought us in for that. And so, as we persevere, as we stay with it, and as we keep with what he's showing us, he says, I'll keep you from the hour of trial, tribulation that will come upon the earth. I will keep you. That is covenant. And so to keep you means he's got to preserve you. Is it not? And this is why we have laboured with you for years about the promises of God's word. That he is faithful. And that it's just a mustard seed of faith. And discipleship and separation, holiness and all these principles. We go over and over and over, week after week. May I say regurgitating? Chewing the cud. And all it is to go deeper with God. Now this open door is free to enter, but not cheap. And it'll cost you everything to enter this door. How do we know that? We know by the amount of people that went into that door before God closed it. Not many. But God preserved a remnant. And Jesus has told us that the last days will be like the days of Noah. And so we get a clear understanding that that door will be open. Many will see that door. But many will criticize about that door. Many will laugh at that door. Many will just say, oh, come on, get a life. It's not real. But they will only know that door when it's closed. And when that door is closed, we then are in that period that those who call upon the Lord in that day will be saved, even though they may be going tragically to their death. Those then will be the realities of the days. So that door to enter is free, but it is not cheap. Why an open door? Good question. These analogies, you know, as I was thinking about this, meditating, praying, I thought, well, why an open door? You know, it could be other things. Why is it an open door? Why discipleship? Why the word? Why commitment? Why separation? Why are these things so important to God's heart? We hear them week after week. We're challenged by them. The Spirit's working it with us, delivering us. Why these things? Why are they so important? Well, the seven churches warn us of a falling away. Those seven churches tell us if we don't meet the conditions, it's judgment. Other than the fact of the faithful remnant, the Philadelphia. Jesus predicted, didn't he, that there'd be many antichrists. Many would come in his name. Many false teachers. He predicted the state of what his church for a season would fall into. He knew that. They didn't know that. The disciples didn't know that. They were believing that generation that the Christ was going to return. But I believe the Lord knew that. And he warned it. He warned about it and said this is what would happen. And the state of the church, the Christian church as we know, fell into an appalling state for centuries. And out of it came many forms of religion, creeds, doctrines, confusions, divisions, denominations, harlotry, you name it, it's all there. And Christ knew that that was going to happen. And he allowed it. Why has he allowed it? Why has the Holy Spirit allowed the church that Christ is supposed to be head? Why has he allowed it to fall in such a dire state and so forth? Because there's an open door. There's a spiritual ark. And one day, God finally is going to judge. That is why these are just some of the infinite wisdom and mind of God entailed. And so right through the centuries, the church virtually moved into darkness. If it were not for the sake of just a remnant, it would not exist. But it did. He had them hid away. Always does. Always does. And so that is why we find ourselves, as I bring this to a close now, this is why we find ourselves under a time of restoration, being restored. God is doing a tremendous work of restoring back his presence in the ark before judgment falls. And in order to do that, it means a huge deliverance and change and restoring. And that is why it required the baptism of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, in order to do that. And sadly, many have moved away from that, lost sight from that. And so this is why, when I said at the beginning that evangelism has so missed so much and is missing much of what God is really saying. And isn't it just like the devil to do that? Yet God is in control. God is working. God will even bless even if the gospel is going out. Even if it's just partially given. God still will bless it. It's his word. And it's not up to any of us to criticize it. Leave them with God and let God deal with them. Let us pursue and do what God shows us. And a remnant will hear. But nevertheless, we do see where things go wrong. And things have gone wrong with us. And how God has corrected and put it right. But you see, the reason that there is such an emphasis on evangelism, and that they use that it's Jesus' command to go out and preach the gospel, which is absolutely right, but he said to go out and preach the gospel, didn't he? What is the gospel? I believe I'm preaching it. I believe I hold it. 66 books. He said, go out and preach this. And all they major on is just salvation, being born again, which is essential, yes, don't get me wrong. But it ain't the full gospel. What about when they do get saved? Where do they go? What churches are they placed into? What leaders are they handed over to? The mind boggles. This is one of the failings, the weaknesses of evangelism today. They have little understanding of apostolic faith, understanding of the body of Christ, body ministry. How can evangelists baptize into Christ if they don't know in that baptismal experience that they're also baptized into a local assembly, a body to function? It's all part of it. But I'll tell you another reason why a lot of it has fallen in and become victim to all of this. Because it's a broad way. There's not a lot of cost involved. And a lot of these evangelists, not all of them, there's a remnant, there's a few who are true apostolic New Testament evangelists. But a majority of them fall into this Because if you look at them, a lot of them, you will find about them, they're great organizers. They have tremendous personalities. They're great orators. They visually sometimes can look good. They know how to pull the people in. They know how to get the money. They feed with the right things that they want them to hear and so forth. Am I making sense? See? That is why it's easy. Evangelism and evangelistic ministry is an easy one to con the people. But I'm not saying all are doing that. But sadly a lot are. And that is why there's such an emphasis today in Christendom about evangelism. Because there isn't a cost that's really involved. And it can be organized, you can get the church involved, they can all come on board, and it's, you know, you can just see the whole setup. But when the church starts to call disciples, the forsaking all, they too take up their cross and follow, and so on. That sorts it all out. But that is the doorway into the ark. That is where you enter into the ark, you see? And so, in order for that, God has to make covenant with you. And after he makes covenant, as he did with Noah, he then speaks to you and says, here's the door, I'm showing you it. Now, do you want to enter in? God had to show you that door. Flesh and blood can't reveal it, you see? So, praise God, that is why we assemble together. That is what this church is about, and others around the world who have taken, seen this, who too are remaining faithful, are being preserved, kept, ready, because judgment is not far away. Is not far away. And we're only going to see, finally, when the Antichrist eventually comes on the scene, all it's going to take is just 7 years. Oh yes, he's going to do a lot of damage, but that's all it is, 7 years. That's as long as God is going to allow it. And at the end of that, then the great judgment, the wrath of God, poured upon the world. And that is not a day in which you want to be around. Believe me. And you will praise and thank God for this ark who's raising us up now into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because that's what it's doing. Because that's where we're destined. We're destined for the throne. We're destined to rule and reign with Christ.